Welcome to Directly Speaking, a direct-to-consumer marketers podcast. Our podcast features marketing leaders in the direct-to-consumer and e-commerce space. We get to learn a bit about their brands and the stories behind them, compare notes on trends and challenges in the industry, and learn a little bit about how they approach their marketing journey. And then at the end, hopefully, we get to know a little bit about them personally. I'm your host, Marcus Lancaster, head of direct-to-consumer strategy at Quad. I'm excited about today's guest, Corey Smail, VP of Marketing at Garage Beer. Marketing guru, Bengals fan, and entrepreneur, Corey started his career in the restaurant business, co-founding Strange Donuts and then Good Fortune Chinese Restaurant in St. Louis, then transitioned to the beverage space as brand director at Pabst Blue Ribbon, where he led the Stag beer brand and saw serious results across earned media, organic social awareness, and sales, ultimately winning the 2020 PBR Marketer of the Year. Corey then infamously parted ways with the brand for some edgy tweets, which, as Corey puts it, opened new doors writing for Liquid Death, and now sits as the VP of Marketing for Garage Beer, building the brand brick by brick to shape the future of the light beer drinkers. Corey, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be here. Thank you. That was a very generous biography.
Well, you know, you've had a busy run of it, and you are a cool story. I'm so glad to have you on.
Thanks,
here.
Man. Starting with
the fact that we can commiserate about the poor performance of our Cincinnati Bengals.
I know. What are you going to do? I guess there is always next season.
Yes. Hope springs eternal in August. But let's talk beer right now. Sure. Tell us about Garage Beer. What a cool disruptor brand it is. Tell us about what you're doing and the journey you're on.
Man, it's crazy. Yeah. We are a light beer taking on the biggest brands in the world, like not just in beer, you know. Andy Sauer, our CEO, he came up with this idea. It was a brand out of a brewery in Kentucky called Braxton. He's like, I want to extract it. I want to build this business and I want to go against the biggest brands in beer. And so we're doing it. It's going well, I guess, you know. I mean, we're expanding super fast. Seems like there's a lot of interest. Sales are great. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's crazy. It's been a journey. It's a great beer. It's 95 calories, 4%, easy to drink. We call it beer flavored beer. We're having fun, man. I did a tweet last night. I was like, we were in Akron earlier this year. Now we're in Alaska. It's just like,
that's so cool.
I've never been a part of something that's grown this fast. It's been crazy.
Well, you told me that it starts with the quality of the beer itself. And while my buddies make fun of me for not drinking IPAs, I'm a light beer guy and a lager guy. And I'll tell you what, it tastes great, man. I was impressed when I tried it out. And of course I had to before I had you on.
Of course. Yeah. No, Andy, I got to give him credit. He's like a big CPG guy, very, very focused on having a great product. I've had a bunch of ventures in my life where like the marketing has been excellent and the product's like, it's okay, you know? And it's so nice to have this one where I feel like the marketing is great and the product's even better. So it's a real compliment to the guys that, you know, not only created it, but are still maintaining it. We're making a lot of it right now. So that's like another job, is to make sure it stays good when you're like producing as much as we are right now.
Well, you said to me when we first talked that the quality of the brew itself is critical, and that's a big story. But let's talk about your marketing efforts, because that's why we're here. I'd really like to hear about how you've gone about both leading and keeping up with this rapid expansion that you're on.
Yeah. Travis and Jason Kelce don't hurt, elephant in the room. They have the largest sports podcast in the world. They're investors, owners of the brand, which is like, we were doing great. We were the fastest growing light beer brand in America previous to them. And then with them, it's like attaching a rocket ship to your back. So we're just very self-aware. Like we're the best at making fun of ourselves. We have a great product. We know that. But then that allows us, I think, to just like be silly about everything else. I would say we take light beer seriously and everything else lightly. And I think that really resonates with myself and also our audience of consumers, which is, I hate even the word the consumers. It's more like fans, to be honest. Like we interact heavily. We are awesome at the internet. We're just like a one-to-one type of brand. And I feel like you have people that really understand that and are feeling that. It's sort of missing, in my opinion, from like the beverage space, maybe just the brand space in general, you know, like just having fun making a good product. It seems easy for a beer brand to do that, but it seems like at the same time in recent years, we've gotten away from that, which is crazy.
I'm reminded of Eddie Van Halen. He once said that everybody thinks he's just there having fun and slacking off, but nobody sees the time in the woodshed behind it, before the show.
For sure. No, I think about, that's a really great analogy. I mean, I like to present our stuff like we don't really care at all, you know, like a lot of our stuff's just like on an iPhone or like random tweets, but it's pretty calculated behind the scenes, I'll admit. You know what I mean? We've been doing, all of us have kind of collectively been doing this a long time. So it's cool to see it's paying off, and it's cool to see we're building an audience of people that I think love the beer and they also love the brand as much.
Well, you're in a great space. And I've heard you say that before. You mentioned it a minute ago that we take beer seriously, but nothing else or variations on that theme. How does that play out in terms of your brand voice and how does that guide your communications?
I think that gives us sort of free rein to just like, I think there's two jobs of a beer brand. One is to make a great product. And then the other two is the second job is to entertain you. You know what I mean? Like that's what you look, I grew up in the 90s as a kid, you know, and the most iconic like advertising in general was beer advertising, you know, and it's still regarded as the case studies of Budweiser and like Bud Light.
You're absolutely right.
That's all I knew, you know what I mean? And then like, it's just not happening anymore. It's so weird. And so like, we just want to kind of get back to that. We want to lean into nostalgia, but then like in a new way. So I think knowing that we have a good product, like I was saying, it allows us the freedom to be, I call it like just dumb or smart dumb, as our CMO likes me to call it. Like we can just have fun because the product is very good. We don't have to like hit it over the head. All we want to do is get your attention and get you to try it. And usually that works, man. Like people will be into it. Once they've tried the beverage, like it's very good.
That's really cool. All right. So you said it was available. I think you told me that you were available in like 8 or 10 states and you were going to be 40 by the end of the year. You know, do you find that as you're expanding into some of these new markets, you have to do work to make sure people understand what the brand is about?
For sure. I mean, like in South Dakota, someone may have never heard of Garage Beer or the Kelsey, like they probably heard of the Kelsey, but they don't know they have a beer. You know what I mean? Like we're new to the world. So we don't have a lot of money for TV advertisements, AKA we have none. And we don't really have like, you know, we're not sponsoring the MLB or the NFL or something. So what we are great at is the internet, social media, connecting with an audience, creating great content. So we really lean heavily into that. We do a lot of targeted advertising through that. So it's like we will, you know, super serve a new market with a series of assets. You know, maybe one's talking about the quality of the beer, but then maybe the others, like two or three, are talking like just joke content, funny stuff to make you laugh. And then maybe we've got a Kelsey one in there too. So like digital is crazy. I mean, if you're good at it, it really is such an advantage in a way that I don't think any other form of media has been before, specifically social media in terms of like leveraging it. Like we use a software called Brandwatch, and every month, like we outperform the biggest beer brands in the world in terms of engagement, awareness, reach, with like a fraction, my friend, of the following. So we know what's working for us like that, and we just kind of keep pushing it. And obviously the Kelseys are a huge help, but a lot of their success isn't like, yeah, they're on television commercials, but their biggest platform is a podcast, you know?
Sure. So
they totally get like digital, social is sort of moving things. And like, if you get it, you can really make some moves, you know?
Let's get into the under the hood a little bit on that, on your social strategy.
Yeah.
You talked about different kinds of assets. Can you let us know a little bit about like how you go about it? You're landing in South Dakota.
Yeah.
What are the tactics and how are you leveraging?
We find stuff that's already kind of working for us, you know, like some of our best organic content is like, oh, okay, that worked. Like it'll probably work if someone hasn't seen it, you know what I mean?
Got it.
So we kind of just lean into some of those, you know, and then obviously like we do need to build like straight up awareness. So we have some like Garage Beer, beer flavored beer. Like we trademarked that. Those three words are so hard working for us. You know what I mean? It's like,
perfect. Oh,
I get it. You know what I mean? Like we don't have to do too much then. Like I said, the Kelsey's like leveraging their network, which is in South Dakota and every other state and most countries of the world at this point, like that helps too. And that kind of generates that first wave of excitement, you know, like we get people traveling 4, 6, 8 hours sometimes just to get the beer like in another city because they're such a fan of either like those guys or like the brand itself, which they haven't even had the beer yet, which is crazy. But then once like they've had it, like I said, like the conversion is working because the product is very good.
I think you said to me that the garage is a hangout, which is why you call it garage beer. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think like, you know, particularly during the pandemic, like the garage became the bar for a lot of people. You know what I mean? Like the bar got shut down and like the garage sort of became a space where like you and your neighbors could like kick it. Social distance, if you remember that term.
Yes.
And have beers and just like, I don't know. And I think like some stuff out of the pandemic has stuck, like the garage, the rise in interest in golf and going outdoors and hiking. Like there was a change in behavior that happened. And I think the garage got the like the spotlight on it. I think it already kind of existed like that. But definitely during that time, it was like, yo, this is how we're going to maintain and build community is like one beer at a time. You know what I mean? Just like inviting friends and neighbors over. And so it still remained that, you know, I mean, bars are back open. Things are obviously open and life is somewhat back to normal, I guess. but the garage has remained like a spiritual home, I think, for what we're trying to do. Right. And the garage is always open is a line that we use. It's on the top of the can. I think there's something very important about that.
All right. So talk to me about what it's like as you continue, as you rapidly grow. I'm sure you're expanding your presence in working with bigger grocers and you're having to navigate the marketing requirements of the tier system in the multiple different states. How are you dealing with that?
By bringing on really talented people for real. Like in this last jump, which was basically from like 10 to like 30-ish states, we brought on maybe 5 or 6 super talented people, half of them I worked with before at Pabst. So it was very cool to already be like, yo, like I already have a good rapport. Let's keep going, you know? But that's such a, you know, like, you mentioned the 3-tier system, like that's relationship building for real. Same with buyers and giant retailers. It's like, you got to really maintain and have great relationships and be a dependable product, but also a dependable person, you know? And I'm not that dude for that. You know what I mean? Not that I'm not dependable, but I'm like, I got other stuff for us to do. Like I got to serve the content that those guys can then sell into the programs, to the buyers. So like it's starting to way that that grows is to grow people, you know, and to grow the size of the business. At the same time, we're still very small. I mean, we're in all the like, you know, 40 states with less than 20 employees. So everyone's lifting a lot, but that's how it works. I have to just be like, the answer is I'll do it, you know?
All right. A question for you about measurement. You know, at PBR, you saw, you know, big growth in organic social media, social awareness, et cetera, which obviously are fundamental tactics for you at Garage Beer. How are you measuring the success in your marketing strategy right now?
Like I said, we use a software called BrandWatch, which is like not super expensive investment, but for us, like, social digital is our biggest advantage. So for us, we need to be able to have great data to prove that and to then, you know, sell that into distributors and retailers as a reason to believe in this brand. It's like, yo, like we know we're a challenger brand. However, we understand this space very well and we're better than the biggest competition at it. So software like that, so I mean, you can just see an engagement and comments. I mean, like if you look at our Twitter or you look at our Instagram versus whatever red or blue box, you know, that cover a bunch of the beer aisles, like the numbers don't lie, you know, like it's there. And yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work, you know, like you can't just like, we don't have a content calendar. We live this shit, you know, it's crazy. Like we really got to work. Luckily I got some help, Lizzie. She like sort of creates memes, knows trends. Like we kind of work collaboratively on this together. You know what I mean? We stay on top of stuff and like, but it's very much like we work every day and we don't like, we don't stop tweeting at 5 o'clock. You know what I mean? Like it's all day, every day. It's a lot to maintain and to stay on top like that.
Building the plane as you're flying it.
Yeah. I always say I was born on the internet, you know? So like it comes natural to me, but like it's not like a prescriptive thing. You can't go to like a lot of brand managers and be like, yo, so we're going to need you to live this brand all day, every day. Like, Christmas, there's no holiday. I mean, it's fine. I love it. But like, it's crazy to like say this is going to be your strategy, you know, they'll work for everybody. Like I said, that's some of that entrepreneurial mindset where it's like, well, this is our business. So we're going to have to work really, really hard.
I get the vibe from your personality in the few times we've talked that you love working for the disruptor brand. You like the small entrepreneurial nature of it.
Yeah.
That has to be a huge difference from working for a large brand like PBR.
It is. I mean, PBR still like is small compared to the bigger brands. So we were able to like punch up. And I also think like their tone of voice is like so absurd at times that it allows that. But no, I mean, we are tiny compared to PBR. So like we have a lot of room to grow. It's like, I don't know. I'm like, I just try to create a brand that like I would like be into myself, you know?
Oh, that's a great line. Creating a brand you'd be into yourself.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to like be a, I'm not trying to sell. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to be silly.
It's being real.
Yeah. It's just being like, we're just be making fun of ourselves all the time, dude. You know, like.
So does that become a problem as you get bigger to continue to have that way?
I think we're going to have to we're going to have to reinforce quality a bit. I think like, there's so many new people are going to be getting into the brand that we're going to have to tell them a little bit of that story. It's like, yo, it is beer flavored beer, but like there's a higher grain percentage in our beer than like the giant brands.
Got it.
That's some like real inside baseball shit. But like, if we are going to lean on the quality and you've never had it, like you've had it, you're like, oh, it's great. But like how, in terms of convincing someone who's never had it, we can't just tell them jokes all the time. You know what I mean? So like there is some messaging that will have to come through. In terms of like, yo, just attributes of the product. I'm not too intimidated.
As a byproduct of your voice, as you mature, you're going to be required to bring in a little bit more traditional brand marketing probably in there as a flavor.
Maybe. I'm trying to keep it. I'm trying to take ourselves less seriously as we get more serious.
Yeah, because you take beer seriously, but nothing else.
I mean, what are you going to do? You know, yeah, I don't want to We were in meetings last week and planning for 2025. And like, there was some stuff that was like, oh, we should do this program. And it makes sense. It's like a big thing. Like, oh yeah. Like, and then we looked at ourselves and we're like, wait, like, I'm not gonna say the name, but like this brand would do that, you know? And it's like, why are we doing that? Like, just cause it feels like that's the next step for us. Like, that's not gonna work. You know what I mean? Like we've gotten this far by doing the opposite of what they're doing. So why, if we start reaching a level of scale, would we try and like accommodate to that? I think the biggest challenge, bro, is like us challenging ourselves to remain like true to who we are as we grow. So we'll see.
I got it. So what does 2025 look like from a marketing perspective for you? What are your biggest challenges and what do you see happening?
Well, our biggest challenge will be in selling beer in 50 states and maintaining velocity for real. Like, we don't have a lot of people. The biggest brands have more people in like B markets than we do as an entire organization. So we're going to have to rely on great retailer relationships, great distributor relationships, people trying the product and it being great and becoming their beer quickly. And like I said, utilizing the platforms that we have where we do have a distinct advantage and just going all in on that. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to spend a lot of money in the first 3 months of the year to make sure this works. Because if we're going to be in every Walmart in America in February, which we are, we don't want you to just buy it once and you can't find it the next time.
When we talked before, you said something to me along the lines of one of the things you try to do is speak to people like people. That probably carries through to the whole way you guys run the brand.
I think so. Like earlier in this conversation, I said consumers and I'm like still kind of like angry at myself that I said that. Like I really don't like that terminology.
Me either.
Like, customers, sure. But like fans is really what we're trying to do. Like, I'd be trying to run this shit like the Grateful Dead. I see Jerry in the background there, you know, and like there's a business book I read called Everything I Know About Business I Learned from the Grateful Dead.
Oh, killer. Like, I'd love to read that.
Yeah, it's really good. It's just like super serve your audience, do things that are not profitable, that build loyalty and trust and watch it pay for itself. I don't know. Grateful Dead are bigger tomorrow than they were today. You know what I mean? And like that's never going to end because of some of the foundational work that they did 50 years ago that didn't make sense, like building Wall of Sound or like creating Shakedown Street where you could like, oh, you want to bootleg our merch? Like, here's where you should do it. Like, let us help you, you know, like that's crazy. And then we're on that same shit, dude, like very DIY tactics. Like, I got to mail out 1,000 stickers this month. You know what I mean? Like, no brands are giving out stickers on Twitter, but like, here we are, because I remember being a kid and my dad would drive up to 509, which was like the drive through liquor store in my little ass town. And I get Spuds McKenzie stickers, you know? Like, yeah, they were marketing to kids. I get it, but it's kind of questionable. But now, like, adults want those stickers. So
we send
the adult stickers. And, like, it costs us, like, not a lot, but we're not making any money in terms of labor, time, design, all of that, postage, et cetera. But, like, I don't want consumers. I want people that are, like, enthusiasts of this brand, you know? Like, I want people that will advertise for us because we're doing things that no other brand is willing to do. You know, even if it's crazy, like it's fine. I don't care.
That is amazing. Dude, I love talking to you because you are the perfect guy to lead the marketing for a disruptive brand like yours.
Thanks,
you have a reality to you and a realness, which I think is cool. And, you know, here I'm an old guy at 57 now, but I still use dude in sentences all the time because I just kind of how I am. And I try to.
I hope I'm cool when I'm 57, man. You know what I mean? Well, I gotta give credit. Our CEO Andy is a fucking genius, dude. Like, a great CEO puts people in place and gets out of their way. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
He will test me on things to make sure it's like, you know, and I appreciate that. You got to poke holes in things to make sure they're working, but like, there's not like doubt or nothing like that. You know, I got hired for the same reason that I got fired from Pabst. So,
well, that leads to the question I was going to is, how have you personally changed in the last 10 years on your career journey?
Man, I don't know. I honestly think I'm taking myself less seriously and it's working. Like, I understand there's like, I always say, I know there's a line that you can go to and you're not supposed to cross. I like to go on it though and just jump up and down a lot, you know, and then I will step back from it versus stepping. I know it, dude. I've been doing this a while, you know. I'm thinking, I will say, like, I became a dad in the last year. So I think about things long-term more, just like not only my family, but just like everything. It just kind of forces that, like, what are we doing in 2 years, you know, like, which is a way I've just never really thought before. But
I understand.
I don't know, man. I think, like, just like I said, not taking things seriously, continuing to do that, and also realizing that, like, I am not 30, I'm 40 now, you know what I mean? And so, like, I have Lizzie's 24. So, like, I need her to tell me what is going on sometimes. You know, like, I consider myself pretty in tune, especially with our audience, which is like an older dude, not older, but like 35 to 50 is kind of like our core, you know, like.
Got it.
But I understand trends are created by like 23-year-olds on TikTok, you know, and like brands figure it out like a month later when it's like 29 days too late. So I think it's important to invest in people, like, especially for a brand like us, like, we're good at the internet. It's like, I'm probably not the best at the internet anymore, you know? So I need to find people around me that are fast and get it. And so Lizzie's a tremendous help to the brand. So I got to give her credit. That's a big part of it. And I think that as I grow, I'm learning to let go of the reins a bit and trust people with that. That's been a real struggle of mine, to be honest. Like, I have a real control issue. Like, I just want to like do it all myself, you know? But with a brand like this, for it to grow as fast as it is and to get to where we want to go, there's no way that Corey is going to be the only person doing the marketing of it.
Right.
It's impossible, you know?
Right. Well, you have to put some trust into your people.
And we are. And Andy put that trust into me, so I kind of am just like continuing the path. I see how that really works.
I hear you.
Yeah.
And I see that because same with you. I consider myself pretty hip to what's happening in the world. But, you know, sometimes I engage with some people, you know, 30 years younger than me in our business, and they every time I engage with them, I learn from them. So it's great to be able to empower those young people to, you know, take a new level.
I always say, like I grew up, like, we got America Online when I was 12. which was cool, you know. But like, there's kids right now in diapers that are pressing skip ad on YouTube, you know.
Yes. Yes.
Like they know. Yes. I don't want to watch the ad. It's like,
yes. Shit.
So we got to be smart, you know, and we got to be fast, and we got to understand that, like, that's that nostalgia for brands, bro. Like, honestly, we're probably the last generation, you know.
You think?
There's a huge distrust, I think, these days. I think there's cool DTC brands, you know, that like a Liquid Death, who like they can do anything kind of they want, somewhat, you know. But like big CPG, I don't know. Like, I don't know if there's a nostalgia for like Pepsi the way that like there's not going to be a documentary in 30 years about the Pepsi Learjet giveaway, you know?
Yeah, I get you.
They're not doing that kind of stuff no more. Even though they didn't fulfill it, like they still created a program that was like, hey, buy stuff, clip it out, we'll mail you. Like,
have you read that book, How Brands Grow?
No.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the author but it was written about 20 years ago. It's still relevant. And basically the premise of that is that there is really no such thing as brand loyalty.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I think like beer is interesting because like I've worked on Challenger, like smaller brands, especially within the Pabst portfolio, where like my grandpa used to drink that. But then like it skipped a generation, like the dad maybe didn't, you know what I mean? Which is interesting.
Right.
Like, how do you tap back into that, like, to that like ideology of like, oh, we're the go-to brand? It's extremely challenging. And I would argue that, or I would support that. Yeah, that's probably correct. Like, loyalty is almost non-existent anymore. So the least you can do is just stay top of mind. And like I said, for a beer brand, just entertain people.
Yeah.
And make a good product.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, and then if you entertain them, there's a vibe that goes along with it that these guys are cool. I'm going to have one of these when I'm sitting in the garage with my buddies.
Yeah.
A question for you personally. How in the hell did you go from food to PBR?
I originally got out of college and I worked in advertising as like a writer. So that went good. And then I was like, dude, I could do this for my own brand. You know what I mean? Like, I was selling McDonald's for McDonald's. I was like, I could sell some shit. And so I started a donut store. I did not know how to make donuts. I still have never made one. But like, it was super successful. Like, we had 10,000 Facebook fans before we opened, you know, like it was a marketing project in as disguised as a donut store.
Gotcha.
And it went well. Like, we had 4 locations. And then I was like, I don't really like it. Wasn't challenging. Like, the product wasn't getting better. And I was like, the marketing was they were off. The balance was off. You know what I'm saying? So then I was like, I'm going to do a Chinese restaurant. I got really inspired. I was like, I want to do like a fancy high-end Chinese restaurant and like really go all in on food and the culinary experience. And dude, I nerded out. It was like we went all the way with this restaurant, like super high-end. I put everything I had into it. I went bankrupt, bro. Like, I literally came off of a huge success in marketing where everyone's like, this is the guy in St. Louis, you know? And then I like had this restaurant where people were like, this is so hyped. There's no way it's going to make it, you know? And it didn't. Like, we got crushed. It was just like, it was not the concept for this market. So then I was like, I need to get a job. And I'm really good at marketing. And so I had a friend that knew that I was very good at marketing. He's like, yo, you should talk to my friend who, like, he works for Pabst. They have a bunch of these, like, brands around the country that are, like, these heritage brands. And there's one in St. Louis, in Missouri / Southern Illinois called Stag. It's been around the 1800s. Your grandpa probably used to drink it. And now like hipsters do. And I was like, interesting. And so like, I got hired to work on Stag by Nick Reilly, who's like one of my best friends now. He was running all the brands that are not PBR basically. And we crushed it, bro. Like, we just were, I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I already now have a brand that people like. It's not like high end, but like people are into it. It's got nostalgia rooted in it. Like, I can have some fun. And bro, within the first 9 months, like, we were up 12%. The brand had been down 27 years in a row. Like, we made money. And they were like, this dude is crazy. And like, I was the marketer of the year for the whole Pabst organization. It was sick, dude. And then Nick got promoted to work on PBR. And he was like, dude, I need you to come with me. Like, we got to work on the big thing now. And so I did that. We crushed that. Like, we did more. We had more earned media for Pabst in the year 2021 than the 182 years before it. So like, we really were getting people hyped and talking about the brand and creating this like level of loyalty, leaning into who we were though. Like we were calling our customers rats and there's a tweet that says we're all just rats drinking PBR. Cause there's this famous meme of a rat literally drinking a Pabst. And it's like, that's who we are. We're fucking PBR. There's a South Park episode about how we are trash, you know? So it's like, let's just be that. And like,
embrace it.
It exploded because that's
it resonated.
Like, that's just, and they're not ashamed of it. You're like, I'm a redneck. Like, I'm from Southern Missouri, dude. Like, it's weird that I get to work on these big brands with like these international athletes and superstars, but like, I don't lose focus of who I am, you know, and I'm very proud of where I'm from. And like, I think just tapping in, knowing who I am, like I said, self-awareness is so important. So like, we had that with Pabst, and then obviously I took it too far, quote unquote, got fired. And then that opened the door, bro. Cause like it was on, you know, the Late Show, you know? And so like a lot of opportunities came my way. Andy called me. He's like, hey, I'm going to buy this brand, Garage Beer. I know some people. I know Travis Kelce. I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. Like, call me back when you get it, you know? And in the meantime, I took a job at Party Land in Los Angeles. They had worked on Pabst.
That's cool.
And people were calling them being like, did you guys do this? And they're like, no, we didn't. We're like, we should find who did. So they called me and they're like, do you want to work here? I was like, yeah, I guess, you know, like I need a job. So then, and their client is Liquid Death. They famously kind of brought them into the spotlight.
Yeah.
So then I got to work on Liquid Death for a year, which was sick. And then Andy was like, yo, I got the brand and it's time to go. And that was like a while ago. And now we just do this. I say this, dude, like, I know there's like some luck involved, but I'm never mean. I don't think it's cool when people are mean.
Good, very good call out. You can't be like
you
that.
You can't be mean. I'll never be accused of being like, oh, that was messed up what he did because it was mean. Never, ever, ever will that be associated with me. Was it outrageous? Sure. Was it crazy? Sure. Was it like absurd? Sure. But it's never mean. And I think if it's never mean, you can maintain a good reputation, even if you're out there, because it's like this dude's still a decent dude.
I love that.
And so I just think that that's like, even if I get fired again, it won't be because I was like pointing down at someone. Like,
well,
like,
there's a, famous line, you know, I can't remember who it's attributed to, but it's people never remember what you say. They only remember how you made them feel. And there's a certain element of, you can poke fun at me and you together and we're laughing our asses off. But if you're just being mean to me, I'm going to remember that and going to haunt you.
So it's nasty, bro. There's enough of that in the world now, you know, like we're surrounded by it and like,
hell yeah.
Ugh. So yeah, I think that's the thing, man. It's like, it'll never be that. And so if it's not, that's just my safe. That's just my rule. Like my cardinal rule is like, just don't be a jerk.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. How do you recharge in this space? I know you're working your ass off. How do you keep the energy up?
At a certain point, I just put my phone on Do Not Disturb and I hang out with my wife and our daughter. And I just like, I just love it, man. I don't know. I took a lot of baths. I go to bed early.
With you?
Yeah, I go to bed early. I take bath. I take a bath every day before bed.
Really?
Like, yeah, man. I can just sit in there and like mellow out for a bit. And like, it just loosens me up and like it's hot. And I'm just like, I'm ready for bed now. And then I'm done, dude. And like, I don't know. I lift a lot because I just got like crazy energy sometimes. So I really think that's it. That's come with time, dude. I mean, like I said, I'm not young and I mean, I'm 40 years old. Like I've been doing this a while and I've had to figure out how to like work with who I am to be the best version of that. And so like family keeps me super disciplined. Exercise also does that. And baths.
Very cool. Well, you're the first person to tell me you take a bath as a way to refresh.
Oh, dude, it's the best. Try it out. I have a great bath. It's awesome.
All right, dude.
This is fun. Thank you so much for having me.
If somebody wants to get hold of you, how do they do it?
My personal on social is It's Always Loud, which is true. And then Garage Beer is at Drink Garage Beer. So
perfect.
If you hit either of those, you'll probably find me.
All right. Well, Corey, what a great interview. I've really enjoyed talking to you today. And thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. And yeah, thanks for having me. It really means a lot.
And thank you, everybody, for joining us on Directly Speaking. We hope you enjoyed the content and get to know Corey as much as I did. And we really look forward to having you with us next week. Take care and talk soon.